This is Bart Isaac. I want to welcome you to the Scrimmage Play Podcast. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman. We're getting ready to leap into spring sports in a big way. And we thought there was probably no better way to kick it off than to talk about the teams that made state finals last year and what they're able to kind of do now. So that brings us, there's a lot of these teams, and some of them made huge runs last year where they were just totally loaded up and ready to go. You know, there were others that like made a little bit of surprise runs, and they've got a lot back. So let's start with, what was probably the highest profile, the most exciting finish last year. It was Almar Boys Soccer winning the Group 5A title.
Yeah, so we had six teams make state finals between the publics and privates, and we had two of them win, the Almar Boys Soccer team and the Western Boys Soccer team. The Albemarle boys, it was crazy. They lost one game all year to Western, and then just cruised after that. And they were shutting out teams left and right. They're playing at 5A, which is up from the division they play in the Jefferson District, basically, because there's only 4A and 3A teams to really deal with there. They went through that Conference 16 and Region 5A North like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah.
The state semifinal game was a blowout.
Yeah.
So they were just coming in hot. They win the final there. And they did it with a steady mix of youth and veteran play. So you lose a Brendan Moyers, a scrimmage player of the year last year.
State player of the year.
And had a pretty good
playing
fall.
Playing a role at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, played a pretty good fall for him. And then Griffin Coffey was their other just absolute stud in the middle of the field. But then they had so many young players around it. I'm sorry if I butcher your name, Ilya Budigar, Andrew Weber, all these guys. They come back. Michael Vaughn was a huge piece for them defensively. They lose Jake Gellin to match the net. That's, a big hole there. But the one thing, Admiral seems to always have goalies, whether it was Matt Natale, Gellin to match,
yeah.
These guys seem to come out and play. So I think while this team lost a lot, Moyers and Coffey and those guys, they have so much coming back from last year experience-wise that they're going to be in good shape. I would not be surprised if they ran the table in the JD.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, like you said, you lose Moyers. I think it was only Falls Church that really seemed to give him problems last year during the run. But Jordan Parks, man, really underrated kid. So good defensively. Just always, always was stepping up sort of in the midfield or making plays in transition. And then, Rivera Hernandez, who, he was really good down the stretch.
And Matt Balsells was a breakout player for them, yeah. Too, as another really young kid. That was what was so weird, is that they had these kids that came in the playoffs and made big differences.
They were super deep, man. They were super deep. But the top line guys, I mean, that's a lot of guys. That's a lot of leadership, too. So it's going to be on, Weber and Brandon Mahon and Vaughn, all these guys to sort of step up. And you can kind of see, another run maybe developing. And there's some young talent, too. I mean, you got Franco Duran. You've got Daniel Starr, sophomore forward. Maybe he gives you a little bit of the firepower that Moyers get. It seems like they've gotten into a pattern now where, like, a big striker or a big four kind of steps up. You go back to Marcel Berry, Moyers now. It's going to be interesting to see if a kid like Starr or a kid like Weber or somebody becomes that finisher that they could have. Mm-hmm. That could be really special. Weber's just so good in the middle and kind of handling, possession and everything. It's just going to be fun to watch. But the biggest change, well, it's not even really a big change, but Scott Jackson back at the helm.
Yeah, so he's been an assistant there for the last couple of years, but he was running the show when they won the state title before this.
That's right.
Back in 2012. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of style change.
No.
I think the transition from Jackson to Balnave was pretty seamless, and now from Balnave back to Jackson, I think, again, it'll be same thing. Admiral plays a very defensive-minded soccer, like very safe and sound, and lets its scoring talent do its thing. Really, I would almost call it improvisational, the way it looks. I don't think that's the way it necessarily operates.
They just adapt really well.
But they just always seem to have creativity up front that allows them to win these 2-0, 1-0 soccer games over and over and over again.
I mean, it's... I mean, and the thing is that at this point, you're starting to expect that Albemarle boys soccer is going to be in the mix.
They won the state final in 2012. They made it to the state final in 2014, and they won again just this year in 2016. Yeah. So it's becoming a regular deal. And the story last year was that group having been to the state final, trying to win one this time. And so it'll be the same story for this group. You know, can they rise above that senior class and make their official mark on the program, even though he kind of already did it last year.
Yeah. Ilya, he's got to be one to watch.
I mean, yeah.
There's no question about it. He may end up being that guy who's the finisher, the striker that steps up.
I think
there.
That's what's going to happen. And, you know, Moyers wasn't that guy until
last year.
No, he
was a creator a little more.
Yeah. He played a different position before. So this is, again, nothing new to Albemarle boys soccer, where you throw somebody in and into sort of a lead role and watch them sort of flourish.
On the flip side, the Western boys soccer team also lost a lot. And there's maybe a few more question marks coming. That was a team that had that space at the middle of the year where you weren't really sure what to make of them, and then the big, huge run.
They had a funny region tournament, too, where they sort of came out of that while they made it to the state tournament. They were kind of unhappy with their play, mm-hmm. and then just absolutely turned it on. Beating Blacksburg means so much to this program. In the spring, Blacksburg and Western, it just becomes sort of industry-wide. It doesn't matter what sport. They just wind up playing each other. So there's a healthy rivalry sort of brewing between these two schools, which seems so similar.
Yeah.
Aiden Sinclair was just such a beast for them.
He had the four goals in the game at Amherst.
I think the state semifinal.
Yeah.
Just
against James Monroe. I think he had four in like 10 minutes or something.
That kid did a lot of winning in that school. He was on the 2014 state title team with Forrest White and the boys. Wins another one in 2016. So he's a huge loss. Jake Paulson, Colin Moore was such an anchor defensively for them. I think they're in a little bit different boat than Albemarle, considering that they were just so senior heavy last year.
Yeah.
While they had Jed Strickland and all those guys chip in as younger players, they've got a little bit different mix coming to this year, which is to be expected when you have that many seniors. You're going to have to throw in some new kids. We'll see. Western boys have always been good in the Jefferson District. If they're not in the finals, top of the standings, they're just one lick behind.
Yeah.
So I don't expect to see them drop off, even with that talent. You're going to have a bunch of young kids that have been starving for their chance to make their mark.
I think Wilson Brown is going to be one that you've got to be excited to see. He's a junior, plays in the middle, could end up being a very different role for him this year with Sinclair and Colin Moore and some of those guys being out. You look for Wilson Brown to sort of be a big creator for him. And Strickland was really good on the back line. Maybe he stepped. I think he ended up having a goal or making some offensive plays late.
And then anytime you see a Nofsinger on a Western roster, that's a good sign. Gabe Nofsinger should be a key player for them too.
Yeah, I think that when you look at sort of they'll move the pieces around. Milo Oakland has done a really nice job taking over, picking up where Paul Rittenhouse left off. It's going to be interesting to see how he moves the pieces around, how he kind of changes things up, and who kind of steps up and comes up with some big plays.
Well, and we saw this last year, the way that Western and Albemarle play each other really sort of iron sharpens iron there.
Yeah.
And I think particularly for Western, because Western, you're playing a team that's going to go on to play Division 5 or Group 5 soccer. Western, you're now in the 3A classification. So I feel like they get a real advantage out of this schedule playing a 4A Charlottesville school, playing a 5A Albemarle school. And we've talked about that in years before ad nauseum, but sure. That really helps them a lot.
No question. And just to sum it up, they lost 10 starting seniors, and that is a ton of guys, especially at a 3A school. That's a mm-hmm. lot of guys. They're going to need a lot of new faces to step up, but you never know. I mean, they have Cole Irvin probably stepping into in goal for Jonathan White. John White was really good. He was good at Covenant. He was good at Western. And if Irvin's able to kind of step up into that spot, and then Carter Spillman, they've got some young guys, some young names that could step up and really make some big plays for them and give them the kind of leadership and the organization that they need to make another big run.
Yeah, I don't think we expect anything less from them.
Obviously, a huge year for soccer, but baseball, nothing to kind of sneeze at there. One of the more exciting runs had to come from Wave and Row last year.
Yeah, it's becoming tradition, at least for the public schools, for one team to just put together a crazy run. And in 2012, when Monroe wins a state title, that was completely expected.
Yeah.
But 2014, Madison baseball making a state
final. That was a great run, man.
That was so interesting.
At one point, were they just like just north of 500, and then they just cranked it up and turned it off?
Went crazy. Just win, baby. Kind of it happened. And then Monticello the year after that.
That's right, yeah.
That was a wild one. And then last year, Monroe beating Turner Ashby, that they had already sort of printed out the state title award for them.
Yes.
It was just an assumed that that's who was going to win the state tournament. And Monroe comes in there and throws their hat in the mix, makes things a little bit interesting. Cody Spencer having just an unbelievable year, and then you get breakout performances. RJ Payne, he's the big name back for them this year. He'll be leading this team. It lost a lot from last year in terms of seniors, but they've got so many young players coming up. I think Monroe baseball is, if they're not poised to make the run again this year, next year, considering how many sophomores they have on this team, should be their chance to shine. This is going to be a really intriguing team to watch going forward. And playing for a coach that I don't think there's anybody more competitive in their job than Mike Maynard. The guy just finds a way to get a lot of juice out of his players. And particularly when it comes to young players, Monroe just seems to find a way to get it done. Keegan Wolford was like the difference maker as a freshman and sophomore.
Yeah.
Jack Morris, when he was playing for them, they seem to find a lot of young players that do a lot. And guys like Jonathan Sexton, I think you're going to see a big difference from him coming. He caught for them as a freshman last year. He's that much more experienced with RJ Payne back on the mound, leading the way for them. Jonathan Eppard. They've got a whole bunch of different pieces to work with. And then you get Charlie Richards and a couple other veteran players to go along with it. They could be in
Richards had a pretty good little basketball year, too.
Yeah, not a bad three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Monroe has been the class of the Bull Run District since they joined it. And I don't think you're going to see too big of a difference there. But they'll get some challenges from the usuals. Strasburg's been good in years. Clark's been good in years. Madison's been good in years. So it's going to be a very interesting season for them. Last year was just so magical. It's hard to repeat that magic. But when you've got a group of young players like this that they don't know any different, they don't know any better. So it's kind of an interesting year for them. I think they're going to be one of the really fun teams to watch.
Yeah, you're right. That is a tough run to match when you pull off an upset. I mean, that's had a very USA-Russia hockey feel. When Turner Ashby had booked it, that they were going to be in that state
final.
They
moved the
game. They were going to win.
Because of their graduation and everything.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, the VHS solo basically went along with that.
Yeah.
It was very, very interesting.
They did, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, Cody Spencer was particularly fired up about
it. I think everybody was. I think Mike Maynard was particularly fired up about it. It's super. It's always fun to see those sort of storylines develop. You got to find an edge wherever you can. And they were able to pull it off. A great Turner Ashby team. But what a you know, sort of heroic performance from Wayne.
Yeah, those are the ones that are just the most interesting to watch when they happen, because there's just so much going on. Outside of the diamond.
Absolutely, yeah.
Those are the best stories.
So the other team that made a big state final run last year, Goochland. They're another one that it was sort of not really a shocker, but they had to fight through some really, really good baseball teams in order to get to that spot.
See, the big problem for Goochland is that they played a nice schedule up front, playing some private schools, some St. Chris in there and that kind of stuff.
This year they play Monticello early. Yeah. They go out of their district, they go find some tough teams.
And then they jump into the James River District and they just kill everybody for a whole bunch of games in a row, and trying to get that that nice edge going into the playoffs, that sometimes can be an issue for teams that are built like this when you dominate a district so heavily. Goochland did a great job last year getting back into that sort of winning mentality that they saw early in the season. They lost some really experienced players. I mean, Reginald was a big piece for them. Coleman Duty, you know, that's a really
Scott
good player.
Carter could really play. Great hitter, great fielder, great base runner.
And the good news is that this wasn't a team that had one person doing the lifting.
They had a lot of depth at on the mound in particular.
Yeah, so they can sort of repair that and try and put things back together. They got Tanner Bradshaw. He's fantastic. John King, fantastic.
Bradshaw is worth seeing just by himself. Yeah. I mean, he's a big, hulking guy. He plays quarterback, played quarterback for him this year. He's big, massive fireballer. Just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching a fullback pitch.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's pretty awesome. And then, yeah, they've got some good newcomers. Cole Knuckles, he was a big impact player for them in football as well. We'll see how he does this year. Tyler Gentry. And then Ricky Mayfield, another big guy.
Very excited about that one.
I mean, Goochland Baseball's got that, they got a lot of beef.
Yeah.
Some big kids. So we'll see how that affects them offensively if this is a team that, you know, really plays for extra base hits and can put up some big numbers there.
Steven Roberts, Frank Majoski, Jeb Anderson, a lot of like really nice pieces back for Goochland. It's going to be fun to see what they're able to kind of build on, because that was a real breakthrough run with a lot of depth pitching. I mean, there are not a lot of 2A teams that can come with as many left-handers as they did last year.
Yeah, that was the big difference.
Coleman and Norman were really, really good. And so stepping into that role, maybe a Jeb Anderson, Wyatt Murray, another left-hander. When you can change it up like that at the 2A level, you get pretty tough to beat pretty fast.
Yeah, and Goochland has been playing at a very high level in baseball for quite some time now. Really since reclassification, they've been outstanding. If they haven't been in the state Final Four, they've been pushing it really hard late in the region tournaments.
Or they've gotten tripped up when they maybe shouldn't. I mean, just they play good, solid all-around baseball. I agree.
And I think that they're one of the teams in best position to make a repeat run of what they did last year. Baseball's so hard. We never see back-to-back state titles.
It's tough.
Champions.
It's tough.
I feel like they have enough there that they should be a decent threat to make a state tournament again.
And some of that is because of the teams that, you know, the 3As and the 2As around here have to face when they get to the other ones. These teams out of Southwest Virginia that are just baseball towns that live and breathe it. You know, Women Road matches that on some level because of how dedicated that fan base is, and Goochland does a little bit too, but it is tough. You start seeing Virginia Highs and those kind of teams
showing
up.
And then there's some 6'4" lefty who comes out just throwing gas.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you've never heard of him. like, what is that?
Yeah. I mean, those are down in that area, you had, you know, Tunstall and you know, down near Ferrum, you know, those guys, they've produced major leaguers coming out of that area. And, so it's going to be fun to kind of see what Goochland's able to do and what can they, you know, for an encore. I mean, that was a heck of a year last year. No
Absolutely.
Question. Two other squads that made state finals, lacrosse. Let's start with the Western Almar boys. Heck of a run, fell to Dominion, but that was a team that was built for that run, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, huge senior core, and they have been a part of a couple big state runs. They never got the championship, but multiple runs in there, did a lot of winning, and particularly early on during sort of their early high school careers when people didn't expect it from them.
Yeah.
So it was good to see them go out on state final, that's a pretty high note. Getting back to that point is going to be the real challenge for them, though.
I think it was, you know, you look at it, and when Alex Witten took over, that was, they went out, they try and play some really tough teams, no question about it. They've scheduled up really well, and it showed. And that was the group that he sort of took over with and tried to kind of shepherd forward. And the core really was Oliver Herndon and Luke Riley and Carter Elliott. And those three guys, you know, at three different levels, you know, whether it was Riley in the attack or Carter in the attack. And then you had, you know, Herndon, who was, it's hard to even define what he was. He was a long stick midfielder technically, but he was on defense and he was, he
had the
scoring a bunch of goals last year. I mean, Oliver Herndon could really just get it done.
Transitional piece for them.
Yeah. He just changed everything that you could do. He could guard your best guy and then he could come down and score on a fast break. And they used him, I think, in a lot of, you know, extra man type stuff where, you know, and man up situations where he kind of became a key part. So you lose Herndon, you lose, you know, Riley, and you lose Elliott. That's a big part of the, you know, big part of the puzzle. And A.J. Donovan got hurt near the end of last year and had sort of a a tough run, but you know, there's some guys coming back that make things really interesting. And John Carr Hayden comes back, and I think Witten has built the program to be more than just a 1 year, you know, wonder. It was just happened that like that was just a really group, good group of kids that came through all sort of at once. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what Western does, is, especially with the Hayden and just kind of, you know, a lot of the public school teams are retooling a little bit and you know, lost some kind of key, you know, firepower. And it's going to be fun to watch, you know, how they kind of reset, how they kind of fix things, and if they can make another run.
Yeah, I think the big thing for them is finding wheels, right? Riley and Elliott were just so fast.
Yeah.
And that'll be what they need to sort of, unless they decide to go in a different direction philosophically. So something to watch from them going forward, definitely.
And then the other team that made a state final last year, Stab Boys Lacrosse, had a heck of a run. They played such a tough division. That BISA D1 is just brutal.
You can go back and look for the last 10 years. The same two teams playing the state final seemingly every year. St. Anne's and St. Stephen, St. Agnes.
And if they don't get there, then they run into each other in the state semis. Yeah. They're always involved in some way.
It's amazing how many times they've played each other. And the game last year, Saturday in the rain, kind of a funky game. Looks like Stab might make a little bit of a comeback there after a slow start. And they just wind up falling short. Some really good seniors on that team. I mean, Kareem Johnson had one of the better just end-to-end years as an athlete that we've seen
his senior year. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Every team he played in the state Final Four.
Yeah.
So that's a big loss for them. But they've got so many pieces coming back, and this is the traditional power in lacrosse in Central Virginia for the last, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, a loaded group. I mean, Philip Robertson, you know, went on to Princeton, and Philip Robertson was just so key for them for so many years. He was really good as soon as he showed up, and he really made, you know, what is one of the more dynamic offenses, frankly, that we've ever seen around here go. And, you know, with Robertson, and, you know, you throw in, you know, Joe Robertson, and he's back. And Schellenberger, Connor Schellenberger, who's one of the top recruits in the country in his age group.
Yeah, we're not just talking about good lacrosse players in this area. We're talking about good lacrosse players in this country.
These guys are ridiculous. And lacrosse guys have to, you know, they go through the recruiting process really early. So you get a pretty good idea of who's good right out of the gate. And Schellenberger is, you know, one of those who's drawn all kinds of interest and committed to Hopkins already, you know, then decommits. Now headed to Virginia, and Jack Schultz, and I mean, just there's, you know, they lose a lot of guys, but then you look and you're like, wow, like that attack is like maybe one of the better attacks that you've seen around mm-hmm. here. I mean, they're just loaded, and then you know, some of the other pieces they have to get figured out. I mean, but that offense is just awesome. I mean, there should be so much firepower around there. And Emmett Barger's a guy who maybe a name that you didn't know last year, but you will soon. Saf Moore comes over from Covenant. You know, they got midfielders. They got guys who are kind of stepping up. And it's all going to be – last year was really about trying to find somebody who could win faceoffs for them. Get the ball in the sticks of that offense. Good things are going to happen.
Trying to channel that Charles Seip.
You need Charles Seip. You need Charles Seip. Charles Seip should just have eligibility at Stab going forward for like the next 8 years. That's really what we need to see. But I mean, they stepped up, and Magnus Gold and some of these other guys are going to have to be, you know, have to make big plays. They're going to have to step up. I mean, defense loses a lot without having Kareem Johnson, but you know, Michael Giacomo is back. That's pretty solid. It's a good piece to build around. And so, maybe they're able to kind of piece everything back together and make everything work. But they've got a lot ahead. And, you know, they lost. Patrick Blake came in for that 1 year
play
goal.
That's right where I was going to go.
Yeah.
It seems, I mean, we've seen this with Bresson before. Goaltending at St. Anne's has always been kind of just improvised somehow.
Sometimes, yeah. And then you had the good run of Buell, who's at Richmond. You had him for a couple of years. But they always find a guy.
Yeah, somebody just finds a way to make a difference.
It's going to be interesting to see who that guy is this year. But yeah, a lot of guys that they can really make some plays. And, you know, I think that they'll miss. They're certainly going to miss guys like Philip Robertson. They're going to miss Josh Reese. I mean, that's big time. But that offense is going to be really good. If they find some way to get the ball into those sticks, like it's gonna everything's gonna work out just fine. I think Emmett Barger is gonna be pretty explosive.
Yeah. The other big thing for them is I don't know that anybody in our area plays a more competitive schedule on a national level. And we're talking about playing teams in Kentucky and all over the place, Maryland. They reach out.
Latin a couple of years ago, I think, and I mean they are not afraid of kind of taking on the tallest trees, and I think that pays off for them when they aren't really afraid once they roll around to the postseason.
Yeah, they've owned the prep league. That's been their thing.
They've been really good in that, no question.
And it comes from sometimes you look at a St. Anne's team that's sometimes randomly 3-3 at the end of March or something like that, and then you see they don't lose another game for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So the work they do early on in the season always pays off very late. This is a lacrosse school. This is what this school does, and it's sort of been its identity for a long time. That's not going to change. We've seen so many young kids come into the program and make impacts early on. I mean, the Robertsons were underclassmen when they won that state title 2 years ago. So you're not going to see anything different from a younger group coming in. It's going to be a lot of pressure on them at an early age, but I think they're ready for it.
So that's everybody who made a state final last year. It's obviously super difficult to repeat. It's hard enough to pull that off once. To do it 2 years in a row is really tough. But that gives you some idea of what's going on in the spring landscape. We're going to have a lot to talk about with all these other teams and squads that, if we had tried to open this up to just schools that have made the Final Four, like if we just tried to expand that a little bit, a ton of schools. Spring is a great season in Central Virginia. It always produces a lot of fun, a lot of teams that can really make some noise, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So we're excited to kind of, go along this journey with you for the next couple of months.
Yep, we're out of the gym, back in the field.
Sounds good. It's good to be outside, even when it's about 37 degrees. So thanks for listening. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to being back next week.